Good morning, PMP. Happy, let's see, Thursday. It's time for some general just Q&A. So I'm Facebook Live. If you guys want to come in and ask a few questions, I'll give you a few minutes to join. We have sunshine today in Nashville, but it's a little cold and we're getting ready for camp and I don't know. I'm really enjoying being at home and working in the tribe more often and just having all kinds of new experiences this week. So good morning, Sarah. I'm seeing people come in now. So it's just time for general Q&A. We have a lot of new members, and so we thought it would be a good idea to go ahead and just say hello and get you some answers real quick if you have some questions for me. So, you guys, everybody's saying good morning. Hello, good morning, everyone. My notifications are a little crazy this morning. I thought I muted them, so I apologize if you can hear them. I don't understand why they're still going off. So, questions. One of the things that occurred to me, I thought I'd talk about, I'll talk just a minute, you know, before we get any questions in. One of the things that occurred to me as we revisit the basics this month is excuses about why we can't follow the basics. I was thinking about this myself with regard to sleep. These days, I am not sleeping well, but I'm not going to bed either. You know, I think I work from home now, right? I can stay up later, which I can, except I'm still getting up at the same time. I'm going to yoga at 6 o'clock, or I'm headed to, you know, mass in the morning, or I'm just, you know, getting up. I'm waking up at my normal time. So I'm starting to look at whether or not I'm just creating excuses for not following the basics, right? I think we all do this from time to time, and it's very important for us to catch ourselves. So let's think about excuses you might give yourself for not planning. Well, I don't know what I'm going to want to eat, or my husband might want to go out, or I don't know what's in the house to fix. Or I don't have any groceries. You know, that's an excuse not to plan, right? When you could make a plan based on what you have at home or based on what you think you might eat. You know, excuses are a funny thing. They block us, but they feel so justified and they feel like facts in our minds, right? So if you really boil down to it and you ask yourself, why am I not planning? Why am I not going to bed at night? You know, my excuse for not going to bed at night is I don't have to. Well, I do have to, right? I do need to go to bed at night, or, you know, I'm not going to feel good the next day. So I was just thinking about that, and I thought I'd share it. I thought I'd share a little bit of excuse, you know, stuff that I come up with anyway. Water is another one. I have my big water bottle. I need to be drinking 4 of these a day. That's about 80 ounces. That's what my body likes, but I'm getting in 3. Why? Well, I forget. There's an excuse. I don't want to have to go to the bathroom in the middle of a Facebook Live. There's an excuse. I'm on a schedule. There's an excuse. I'm a shift worker or a teacher, and I can't just go to the bathroom. Well, that's all excuses, right? Because you could figure out how to get that water in. I can figure out how to get that water in and still meet my other obligations. There's all, you just have to open your mind and try new things. Okay, so I am gonna hit some of these questions now. I see a lot of hellos. Good morning, good morning. Let's see. Sarah, do you know when registration will open for Don't Stop Believing? Not exactly, but soon, after camp, okay? We're gonna get through camp and then I have to sit down with a calendar and get the hotel contract written, and it will be, but it won't be long because we'll have about a 12-week training. So I'd look for it in the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks probably. Mary says it's freezing here in Michigan. I'm sure it's much colder there than it is here, but we had 70 degrees the past couple of days and it's 30 now. So that's a 40 degree difference and my little body's cold. Good morning. Good morning. Lots of good mornings. Good morning from Birmingham. Love finally seeing your sweet face that goes with your voice. That's so nice. Thank you. Biggest excuse, no food in the house. But there's food at the grocery store, right, Melissa? There's food at the takeout place, right? It might not be great food, but you can still plan it. You know, the purpose of planning, y'all, is to create a successful food day. Now, what does successful mean? It means you've created a plan that you're going to follow, that you can feel successful about. It doesn't mean chicken and broccoli. It doesn't mean, a salad. It means I have intentionally made a plan for what I'm going to eat today, and I'm going to intentionally follow that plan. It's keeping a commitment to yourself. That's how we start this process. In order to lose weight, you have to start learning to be committed to yourself and keeping that commitment. I was coaching someone last night because she had an overeat because she went to McDonald's and got a sausage biscuit for breakfast. And I said, do you like sausage biscuits? She said, I love them. And I said, why isn't it on your plan? And she said, well, I have a hard-boiled egg and I don't remember, something else healthy on my plan for breakfast. I said, but you're not following that. And so what you're doing is you're creating this plan that you're not going to follow. Then you're failing at your plan. Then you're throwing the rest of the day out. If you put a sausage biscuit on your plan, are you likely to stay with the plan the rest of the day? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, so put the sausage biscuit on the plan. Then if your weight loss results aren't what you want them to be, then reevaluate. Maybe the sausage biscuit only goes on twice a week. Maybe it only goes on once a week. Maybe it goes on three times. But figure that out first, that you can commit to what your plan is so that you can end the day feeling good about following your plan. All right. Love the mentality of planning / fixing / being creative versus all of our excuses. Need to remember that. Yeah. Yeah. Open your minds. You know, we are very creative people. I mean, if I can be creative, me, the little accountant with the 10 key, right? If I can be creative, you guys can be creative. You can try different things. You can, put the sausage biscuit on your plan and decide, maybe I really don't like sausage biscuits, and then it becomes a bacon biscuit. You know, you can just open your mind to different things. Try new things. See what you can come up with. And y'all, if you ever need ideas, you've got how many hundreds of people who will respond to you in a post with ideas, right? Julianne wants to know what's on my plan for lunch and dinner today. I had the greatest food prep this week. I love barbecue, like pork, like shredded pork barbecue. So I went down to the local barbecue joint. We have great barbecue in Tennessee. And I got a pound of barbecue meat. And I pulled it apart and I put it in a dish. And with it, I have, I think they call it, it's a HelloFresh recipe, but it's like a sweet potato salad it's roasted sweet potatoes, charred poblano peppers and corn. What else is in it? Roma tomatoes, diced tomatoes, cilantro, a squeeze of lime. Oh, and shallots. The shallots are sliced and charred with the corn and the poblano. And you mix all that up together and it just looks like a side dish, whatever, with all that stuff in it. And I eat that with my pork and it is delicious. So that's lunch. And then dinner, my husband and I have date night planned after the Queen's Club Masterclass. So we're going to Burger Republic and I will have a burger with no bun and homemade chips, because I love their chips. And they also have a great craft beer selection. So I have planned one beer, which will likely be a stout. I love like milk stouts or coffee stouts. So my exception meal is planned for tonight. So that's my plan for today. If I need a snack, I will either have some, like a cheese stick, or some peanuts that I have in the pantry, but only if I need it. And I may or may not need it. It just depends. I'll evaluate at that time. All right. Michelle says, I have not yet to eat at a different time with my, I have yet to eat at a different time with my husband, but maybe we'll start that tonight if I'm not yet hungry. Yeah, you don't have to eat with your husband. He gets hungry. Your stomachs might not be on the same schedule, right? And that's okay. You can sit with him while he eats. Or if you're like us, we sit together all the time, so it doesn't matter. We eat at different times all the time. Amy, the 24-hour plan and the recovery sheets are so valuable for me. I don't have any snacks on my plan. Didn't have any snacks on my plan last night, and at 8 p.m., I really wanted some leftover candy. But I told myself that's not on the plan today, but I could have it on tomorrow's plan. I also have been doing a recovery worksheet. After eating anything that is not on my 24-hour plan, I find myself saying a piece of candy is not worth it doing a recovery worksheet. That's an excuse, right? It's an excuse not to do a recovery worksheet. I wonder what your excuse is for eating the candy. What thought were you telling yourself that led to eating the candy? Because it all starts with a thought, right? I've heard so many people the past couple of weeks say, it just happened so fast. I just started eating. Well, guys, it always starts with a thought. Okay? The thought might be fleeting and it might be very well practiced and it might be something that you say to yourself that you haven't caught yet. But think about the thought, feel, act cycle. You always have a thought that leads to a feeling that leads to an action. And in this case, the action was eating candy. So, what feeling created that action? Was it stress? Was it urge? Was it happy? Was it desire? What? Think about it in those terms because it always starts with a thought. Heather, should a snack follow the 2-to-2 rule? Would a snack then become like a meal? Yes and yes. It could very well could. But here's what I do with a snack a lot of times, Heather, and maybe this will help. I know if I eat a full meal, I'm not going to be hungry again for 4 to 5 hours. Sometimes, so usually for me in that time frame, because I tend to make sure my meals have plenty of protein and fat in them, so they keep me longer. Could be 6 hours. So if I get hungry, let's say like tonight, I'm going to eat probably not until 8 o'clock. All right. So if I have lunch at, let's say, 1, that's a 7-hour time frame. If I get hungry at 4 or 5 o'clock, I will probably have a snack, but I won't eat to my 2. I'll eat to, say, 0. Okay, so that I can then be hungry enough, I'll be back at -2 by 8 o'clock. Okay, so you can work the hunger scale with snacks like that a little bit. You can eat to like -1 or 0 so that your body doesn't have to wait, 4 or 5 hours to eat again, so that you can kind of time it a little bit better. So, but if you eat to +2, then you don't, your snack to +2, then you don't need to eat again until -2. Okay. I hope that, if that doesn't make sense, post again. All right. Planners. I ordered mine on the 1st. Are they on the way? Okay. Here's a story on the planners. I'm glad you asked this question. There were some in the fulfillment center already in stock. So those folks who ordered very early, like the 30th or the 31st, have gotten their planners. What we realize now is that there were more orders than what was in stock. So the fulfillment center had to print a bunch more. Okay, so it could be, what is today, the 10th? I think Corinne said the 15th or the 16th before the next batch ships. So it will be coming soon. But we had more orders, which is a wonderful thing, than what were actually in stock at the fulfillment center. They had to just restock. So a bunch of people went ahead and got theirs. The ones that ordered the earliest went ahead and got theirs. And then the next group will go out very soon. Rebecca, Kathy, thank you so much for helping me with my issues about my relationship with my mom in your last office hours. After you helped me, I called my mom and we had the best talk we'd had in a while. You cut through my crap and hit the exact issue I needed to work through. I'm so glad to hear that, Rebecca. So to recap Rebecca's call, she was feeling a lot of negative feelings about her mom that she was having trouble getting past. So the short story, you can go back and listen to Office Hours and hear the whole coaching, but the short story is she didn't want to feel those feelings. She said her mom was a wonderful person and she wanted to feel the love, but she was having trouble getting past the resentment. So I asked her, if you could set resentment aside, if you didn't feel resentment, what would you feel? And she said, well, love. And y'all, you could see her face just light up. I don't know. Rebecca, you should go back and watch your facial expressions because it was just really interesting to watch you just, you know, your whole face became so expressive with the love that you have for your mom. Once she allowed herself to feel that love again, once she set the resentment aside, she could feel the love again. And she started creating all these thoughts that led to the feeling of love for her mom. When she started feeling that love again, it just opened everything up for her. So by setting resentment aside, she allowed love to come in, and the love was so abundant that the resentment, you know, wasn't necessary anymore. So it was a beautiful thing to watch. I love feelings work. Feelings work is just amazing to me. So that was a really great call, and I appreciate you coming to Office Hours and working through that. All right. Good morning from Minnesota. All right, Melanie, I have set my goal weight. I went big. My question is, what is the best way to decide what my weekly and monthly goals are? Just divide by weeks and months. I want to weigh 150 and I am at 225 as of this morning. Thanks. Okay, Melanie. So decide how much you want to try and lose each week. When I was losing my weight, I decided 1 pound a week was enough. And I decided that because I knew I wasn't going to go chicken and broccoli all the time. I wanted to still enjoy what I wanted to enjoy and still see success. So if you want to try and lose 2 pounds a week, your actions should reflect what it takes to lose 2 pounds a week. If you want to try and lose 1 pound a week, then your actions will reflect what it takes to lose 1 pound a week. So what you have here is a 75 pound loss. You get to decide how much you want to lose a week. And you can always change the goal, right? You can always change the speed of it. So let's say you want to do 75 pounds in a year. So that's about 6 pounds a month, right? 6 times 12 is 72. So we'll go with 6 pounds a month, which is about a pound and a half a week. Why don't you start there? And then see if your actions, if the actions that you choose to take line up for about a pound and a half a week. If they do, then just stay there. But if you see yourself losing more than that a week, you can change it, right? If you see yourself losing less than that each week, you can change the goal. So it's a beautiful thing. It's all within your control based on what your commitment to the plan is, how well you execute your plan, and what actions you choose to take as you lose your weight. All right. Mary says, I always plan to go to bed, but then go cozy up on the couch and end up falling asleep and waking up at like 3 a.m. and then go to bed. I justify it by saying, well, I did sleep. I know it's a habit, but I enjoy it. How do you stop a habit that you know isn't ideal, but that you enjoy? Well, how's that different from eating a candy bar every night as a habit? You enjoy that. How do you stop that? You change the action, right? So look at why it isn't ideal. You know, you're falling asleep. Are you sleeping well on the couch? Are you sleeping well when you go upstairs? You know, is it ideal for you? Or is it not ideal for you and why? You know, what's the reason you want to change that? Okay, if you're getting good sleep, you might not need to change it. I would not get good sleep doing that. If I fall asleep in my chair downstairs, by the time I get upstairs and wash my face and change my clothes and all that kind of stuff, I'm wide awake and I can't go back to sleep. So I know that kind of behavior is not ideal for me. But if it's working for you, you know, you might look at whether or not it needs to change. And if it does need to change, then figure out how you're going to change it. Okay. Maybe you just decide tonight, I'm going to go to bed at, you know, in bed and see how it's different. See if it's different. See if I sleep better. Okay. Jessica wants me to explain an exception. Okay. So an exception is something that you eat that is not on your food protocol. All right. So as you're working through NoBS, you're going to be, you're listening to a lesson on food protocols. And a food protocol is that list of foods that you're going to allow within your eating plan. And those foods need to be foods that you enjoy eating, that you like. You know, you're not going to put a bunch of crap on the on your protocol that you don't like beets. Y'all are not on my protocol. As good as they are for you, they're not on my protocol. So they're foods that you know you'll eat that feel good in your body. Okay. So in order to explain what an exception is, I need to explain a protocol. Bread is not on my protocol because I like bread, but it doesn't feel good. It fills me up too fast. It doesn't, you know, it spikes my insulin. It just doesn't make me feel good. It makes me achy, makes my joints achy. So bread's not on my protocol. Now, let's say I'm going out to a foo-foo dinner with, you know, Ken and I are going with another couple of couples, which we do periodically, about once every 6 weeks or something. We get together and we go out and we try a new restaurant. I will plan to eat, I might plan to eat, you know, out of the bread basket for that restaurant, for that meal as an exception. Even though I know it's not something I eat every day, I could plan to eat it or eat dessert or eat something that's not normally on my food protocol because, you know, I just want to. You know, it's a planned exception to my regular food protocol. So that's what it is. You don't want to plan an exception every day. But you want to, you know, you want to work exceptions into your plan because you're not, you know, for me, I might not eat bread every day anymore, but I know that for the next, you know, let's hope I live 30 or 40 more years, right? For the next 30 or 40 more years, I might want to have some bread every now and then. I might not. But if I have it, I'm not going to have it based on, you know, being stressed out or feeling deprived or being angry. I'm going to have it because I planned it. Okay. So that's what an exception is. An exception is a planned food that is not on your protocol that you decide you're going to, you know, you decide you're going to plan. Now, let's say, here's the other thing about exceptions. Let's say I'm going to this fancy dinner with my friends and I've planned bread and I look at the bread and I really don't want it. That's okay. I don't have to eat it. Right. So if I decide I'm going to plan bread, when it comes to exceptions, I'm pretty picky. Okay. I use the example of bread. Probably a better example is French fries. I only eat certain French fries. I love French fries, but I'm not going to eat the crinkle cuts out of the freezer section at the store. If I go to a restaurant that has French fries, I'm only going to eat them if they're fresh cut and cooked in good oil. And I know where those are in Nashville. So if I want to eat some French fries, I'm going to go to certain restaurants and eat their French fries. And I'm going to plan them as exceptions. I'm not going to just eat any old French fries. So that's what an exception is. It's a planned meal, planned food or meal that's not on your regular protocol. I hope that explains it well enough. Let's see. Melissa says, how long after getting plan constant do you add exercise? You can actually add it anytime you want. Just make sure that you aren't using exercise as an excuse to overeat. Okay. I think that's what's really key about exercise. I want you to add exercise only if it's something that makes you happy, not if it's going to stress you out, not if it's going to, create thoughts that, I walked a mile today, I can have this candy bar. No, we want you to settle into your food plan first. And then, if you want to exercise, if you want to put in a little movement, that's fine. That's your choice. We just don't want you relying on exercise to lose weight, because it really is such a small portion of, a whole weight loss plan. Losing weight is all about stopping overeating. That's the biggest reason we gain weight, is we overeat. It really has very little to do with whether or not we exercise. All right, should I do a recovery worksheet every single time I eat off plan, or is it more for bigger overeats? I've stuck to my plan for 4 days. That's great, and feeling proud. Yeah, I do a recovery worksheet every time you eat off plan. Every time you overeat, every time you eat off plan. Here's why. Jen, my friend Jen, has done over 300 of them and lost 90 pounds. Okay? She puts a stack of them in her kitchen. And every time she has an overeat, even if it's one bite, she does a recovery worksheet. You do that because you look for trends. You look for whether you're reacting or resisting, how much time, what your thought was, what your excuse for the overeat was. You start collecting those recovery sheets, and then you go back and look at them. What is it you're telling yourself? Is it always the same thing? Is that the thought that you should work on? Is that the thought that you should look for or identify with, or add an answer to? Let's say your thought is, I exercised, I deserve this. Okay. What if you start seeing that thought every day? Every time you overeat, that's the thought, right? That's when you identify that thought and you make an answer to it. If you hear that thought fly by your head, you might say, exercise doesn't give me a reason to overeat. Exercise is not a reason to overeat. So you begin to develop answers for those thoughts that you see the trends with. Also, here's the other thing the recovery worksheet does. After you've done 300 of them, you look at that stack and you say, all right, if I eat this, I'm going to have to fill out that worksheet. And you put the food back. Right? I don't want to do another worksheet, so I'm not eating this. So yeah, I'd put a stack in your kitchen and I would make a habit of filling them out. Dawn, I travel for work and it's hard to plan my food when I'm out of town. How do I make this work? I generally travel day trips, so I fly down south and fly back up the same day. All right, Dawn, for you, I would use a vacation kind of planning. I would say I only eat 2 to 2 and I make the best choice I can make at the time. Okay. So let's say you have to, you're flying down south and you're going to lunch with the people that, you're working with that day. You walk into a restaurant, you say, I'm only eating to my 2 and I'm making a really good choice off this menu, something that fits within my food protocol. Okay. It's that simple. And then you still get your water in and you still go to bed at night. And so you have a plan. You're following your hunger scale. You're drinking your water and you're getting your sleep. You've covered the basics. Jackie, what do you think about maintaining for a bit before you hit your goal? I'm down 40, maybe 15 or 20 more to goal, but I'm getting married in 5 months. I bought my dress before PMP. It needs altered in big time. So I took it in and now need to stay within 10 pounds. About 10 pounds is about a size. I don't think I would purposely stall my weight loss for any reason, even a wedding dress. I think it can be, I think you need to watch and make sure you're not giving yourself an excuse to eat. Okay. It sounds good to say, I don't need to alter my wedding dress again. But is that really what you want? Or would you like, what's the worst that can happen? It's a little bit loose, and that's okay. You'll probably be more comfortable that way anyway. Can you talk about thinking, thoughts and feelings about the scale? I've been doing good, negative numbers, about not taking negative numbers. But I feel that if I get really excited by a good number, I'm setting myself up. I know it's just data, but is it bad slash unhelpful to get excited by a good number? No, I wouldn't say it's bad. But I wouldn't give a lot of emotional energy to it. I would look at it and say, okay, I'm down 2 pounds or I'm down 3 pounds or whatever your good number is. How did I get there? And what can I repeat next week? I think that's what I would do. I would look at it from a very neutral standpoint. You know, you can, you know, oh, that's nice. And then move into assessment. Okay. How do I sign up for a coaching session? Looks like on the website, every month is grayed out. Okay, Christina, we open up the coaching appointments on the 25th of the month for the next month. Okay, so February schedule is not up yet. It will go up on January 25th. If you want a coaching session with Corinne on one of those Zoom calls, y'all, I would honestly go in and check every day or so, especially right before a Zoom, because people cancel and those slots open up. You know, not everybody is going to cancel, but it does happen. You can also drop into office hours. We have two of them each week. I do one and Betsy does one, and those don't require appointments. So if you need more, if you want more immediate help and you don't want to wait until February to get into the Zoom coaching calendar, you can always come to office hours. Missy says, you're not an accountant anymore. I am always going to be an accountant. I love numbers. They're like solving a puzzle. Okay, let's see. I find that I love you guys. For those of you who are posting with hashtag ask, that's beautiful. I can go straight to those posts. So those questions. So that's a great thing. Thank you for doing that. I find that on my 24-hour plan, I'm putting general terms instead of specific meals more often than not. For example, I'm writing protein, veggie, fat, and small serving of carb for dinner every night instead of a specific meal. Is that something that is just okay for now while I'm working on following through on my commitments? I'm following these plans. Or is the goal to get specifics like spaghetti with meat sauce, green beans, side salad? Thanks. If you are sticking to that plan and you are seeing results, it's probably okay. I plan specifics. Okay. So my plan for today, I just told you what my plan is. That's how I plan. If I'm going to have spaghetti for dinner, I put spaghetti on the plan. But here's what I also do. For me, I plan a whole week. Okay. So usually on Friday nights, Ken and I sit down, we plan the whole next week and I do the grocery list, pick up the groceries on Saturday, do my food prep on Sunday. But each day I look at that week's plan and make sure that the dinner I have planned works with the schedule for that evening, or the lunch I have planned works for the schedule for that evening. So I might swap Tuesday's dinner for Wednesday's dinner as I do my 24-hour plans through the week. So let me say that again. I have 7 dinners planned and 7 lunches planned. I have some of that done in food prep each day. So I do that as part of my planning for the week. Then each night when I do my 24-hour plan for the next day, I make sure that the plan on the weekly plan for the next day fits with the schedule. And if it doesn't, I might swap a dinner out for another dinner that's already on the plan. Okay? So I plan more specifically because that works for us. I usually suggest as you're starting out that you plan more specifically because it increases your level of commitment to the plan. You actually have already made the decision. That's what it boils down to. For those of us that have I don't want to use the word busy, but I'm going to. You know, if you're running kids around, if you're going to school, if you're working, already having those decisions made, not having to come home and say, which protein do I want or which carbs do I want, is very freeing. You already have a plan. All you have to do is pull out the stuff and fix it or heat it up. It helps you avoid decision fatigue, and it keeps you from going off plan. All right, next. Last night we ended up impromptu dinner out. I did not plan a beer, but had one and ate off plan. Best thing to do a week. Yes, do a recovery worksheet, Leslie. Yes. I just went to print the Fresh Start module and just noticed that it's missing a lot of things that are in the entire course workbook. I thought we could just print one module at a time, but it looks like that may not be the best option. Okay, I'm not really understanding that. There should be individual workbooks as well as the entire workbook all at once. We originally did them as individual workbooks, and then people were asking if they could print it all at once, so we did that as well. When do we learn about recovery worksheets? I think that is in the taking control module. Okay, so if you're not there yet, don't stress about the recovery worksheets. Just wait until you see Corinne's video about them. There are some days that I don't know what I will be doing during the day. Do you have any tips on how to write a 24-hour plan the night before? If I don't know if I will be home or out of the house when I'm hungry the next day. You know what? Write it with options, Melissa. If I'm home, I'm going to eat this. If I'm out, I'm going to eat that. Okay? You'd be working from home, so only catching bits and pieces. We'll watch it entirely. Okay? Let's see. All right. Beth says, I'm at 185. Goal is 150. I'm not sure how to set goals. Okay. Why don't you try for a pound a week? Sounds like you have a goal of 150. So that's your goal is to lose 35 pounds. How quickly do you want to lose it? How many exceptions are you going to plan? How well are you following your plan? I think, Beth, for you, I would start at a pound a week and see if your actions line up to that. Just like I was talking about earlier, if your actions are helping you lose a pound a week, then that sounds like it'd be just perfect. How does it feel to be a full-time PMP employee? It feels pretty good. What's very cool about it is that my other job, the old job, doesn't distract me from PMP work anymore. That's isn't that kind of sad? The full-time job was a distraction. So working full-time PMP is a dream of mine, that a goal that I made about 3 years ago that I have worked toward and accomplished. So it feels pretty good. All right. Can my goals not be weight related, but be behavior related? Like 24-hour plans, or in 6 months, I want to be able to swim strongly. I'm taking less. Sure. You can make your goals whatever you want. Just line up your actions to create that result. It's interesting, Christine. You say, or flying in a seat with more comfort. When I started losing weight, I didn't set a goal. I didn't set a goal weight. I decided this is how I'm going to eat. This is how I want to live my life. Maybe I'll see where my body lands. Okay. And it landed at that time at about 160. Sorry, I just kicked my heater under my desk. It landed at 160. And I felt really good at 160 because that was a 70-pound loss. I had been weighing 230. And then I went to the Life Coach School to an overeating masterclass to learn about myself a lot, but how to coach overeating, basically. And that's where I was introduced to the no sugar, no flour protocol. And I was there with the other coaches, and we all decided, let's give this a shot. And of course I was mad. I decided I didn't want to give up, I didn't want to give up my Ritz crackers or my pizza or my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I said, I will give this 2 weeks. And if I hate it, I'm stopping. Well, after 2 weeks, I felt so good. I didn't realize how much sugar and flour were affecting my body personally, that I decided to stay on it. And I lost 10 more pounds. So that's where my 80 comes from. So I didn't necessarily set a goal weight. I set the goal of finding what foods really feel good for me and feel good in my body and I react well to and help me sleep better, and landed on a weight that I feel really good in. So your goal can definitely be a number on the scale, but it can be other things as well. By the end of last week, I was down 5 pounds. This week, I've gained about 2 pounds back, yet I'm doing the basics and definitely eating better. Could it be that my cookie binging before I started is catching up with me? I don't know. It could be just natural weight fluctuation. Sometimes 2 pounds is the amount of food that you just have in your colon this morning. I think I would look at it on a longer term basis rather than just day to day. That's why we ask you guys to weigh in a week at a time. Could also be hormonal, could be stress related, could be a lot of things. So just keep following your basics. Don't overanalyze too much unless you see a trend. Okay? Let's see. Looking for hashtag asks here. Answered my question. Okay, what books did you talk about for people pleasers? Books for people pleasers. I'm going to have to think on that, Jenny. I don't know if I'd read any books specifically for people pleasers. I can tell you some of my favorite books, though. I loved Finish by John Acuff. I loved, maybe this is a good one for people pleasers. I call it the badass book. I think it's called You Are a Badass. Jen Sincero, Sincero. I loved that one because at the time I was very concerned about how I looked to other people and how I compared to other people. And that book helped me realize that I have gifts and talents that are unique to myself, and that makes me a badass. So I think that's where I'd start. You Are a Badass. That's a great book. All right. I was down 5 pounds. Oh, I just read that one. Is there a podcast for being embarrassed for not losing weight after being in the tribe for 14 months? I've come a long way mentally, but just not with the weight. I have made a 24-hour plan past 14 days. That's great, Terry. I don't know that there's a podcast that specifically addresses that. But if I were you, I'd get on a coaching call. Let's figure out why you haven't been losing weight. I would expect if you're maintaining weight, you're eating to maintain weight. So I would look really hard at your hunger scale. A lot of times what I tell people to do when they're reevaluating their hunger scale, and you've probably heard me say this, but for those of you who haven't, I would serve up your normal plate of food, okay? And I'd sit down at the table, not in front of the TV, no distractions, and eat half, okay? Then wait for 10 minutes and think about, during that 10 minutes, think about how your body feels. I saw the greatest post yesterday, where this girl said, "My mouth and my stomach are not on instant message when it comes to the hunger scale. They're on snail mail," which means it takes time for the food that leaves your mouth, that you swallow, to hit your stomach and for that hunger signal or fullness signal to get back to your brain. All right? So when you wait that 10 minutes and you evaluate after 10 minutes how your body is feeling, you'll have a better idea of what your hunger scale is and how much food it takes to help you reach +2. If after 10 minutes you find that you're still hungry or you're not at +2 yet, eat half again as much and do the same thing. So put that on repeat until you find +2. Then, here's the fun part. All that food that's left over, journal about it. What are you thinking about it? Are you thinking, "I can't believe it only took that much food"? Are you thinking, "I don't want to waste this"? Are you thinking, "It's okay to pitch this in the trash because now I know why I'm not losing weight"? You know, think about all those things. Chances are, if you're maintaining your weight, you're eating to maintain. Okay? So just, you know, think on that for a little bit. All right. I don't have any more questions, y'all. Is there any, do you guys have? Shelly says, "Are you still sugar/flour free?" For the most part. I have allowed a few things on my protocol that don't keep me 100% no sugar, no flour. For instance, we eat spaghetti every week. We love it. but I eat gluten-free spaghetti. So I do have a little bit of like corn flour on my protocol. And of course the, when I plan a beer as my exception, you know, that's got gluten in it. I don't eat a lot of sugar though. Sugar makes me feel worse than flour does. I have arthritis in my knees and I can really, really feel when I eat off plan. Okay. And I don't like the way that feels. So that's good enough for me to say, I'm not going to eat that kind of stuff anymore. Missy says, Corinne talked about being confident yesterday. How can I stop worrying about others' opinions? I'm not shy, so I talk to others a lot and then analyze conversations and worry about what they think of me. I want to gain more confidence this year. Missy, I think I started thinking at really looking at why I'm worried about what others think of me. And what it boiled down to was what I was thinking about myself. Okay, so think about your model there. The thought is, I wonder what they're thinking about me. The feeling is worried. The action is stew about it, overthink about it. And the result is you're thinking more about what you think about yourself. Okay, so when you work on your own self-confidence and your own self-love, other people's opinions don't seem as important. You know, your own opinion becomes more important. So that's where I would start for you. Lisa says, the recovery worksheet doesn't resonate with me. Not helpful. I've been using the change over overeating habits worksheet instead. Do you think it's okay? Or am I potentially missing something that eventually I'll connect with on the recovery sheet that would be helpful? I don't remember exactly what the change overeating habits worksheet says, but if that's what is helping you analyze your overeats, then I'd say that's fine. We recommend the recovery worksheet because it's tailored to that specific instance. The changing overeating habits, you know, I don't remember exactly what that says, but if it's working for you, I'd say just do that. You know, I personally like the recovery worksheet because it has me looking at that specific overeating instance. Does no sugar mean refined? Do you eat fruit? Yes, I eat fruit and all kinds of carbs, just not cookies and donuts and breads and things that have refined sugar in them. I have found eating fruit curbs the baked goods. Yeah. I mean, I eat all kinds of carbs. I just told you all about my sweet potato salad, I guess you'd call it, that I have for lunch today. It's got sweet potatoes and corn in it. And then we have apples, and I had a banana for breakfast. So, yeah, I eat all kinds of carbs. I think I'm eating to my plus two, but every night I get dizzy and start to feel sick. I'm not feeling hungry, but it feels like I haven't eaten enough food body-wise. What could I do to make sure this doesn't happen? Sherry, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in Ask Coaches. And the past two or three times this has happened, I want you to post your food logs for the day. Okay? So get in Ask Coaches, repeat this question, and post at least two, probably three food logs from days where at night you start to feel dizzy and sick, and let's look at it from that perspective. Also post your, if you can post what your hunger scale was at dinner time. I don't think I have enough information to really answer that question. I'd like to see more about what you ate. What does W stand for on the 24-hour plan? I'm not through, no BS training, but can't figure, okay. W, either you can use it for either water or workout or both. Okay. Are the watch parties where I can watch them after the fact? I save the original post, but it doesn't let me replay. It just says over. It should let you replay. But now maybe not for a watch party. I actually have not played with the watch party yet. The way I understand that works is that Corinne posts a video of some kind, either a Facebook Live or a video from the website or something else. and you watch it as a group and comment on it, kind of like a live like this, except it's a replay. But I don't know how the replays on the watch parties work. How can I get past the ingrained years of diet rules, counting calories and macros? I can't seem to get out of the doubt that I'm either eating too many calories or not enough protein, just having a terrible time, not wanting to track everything by the numbers. You just start doing it. You say, I know these are the old diet rules, but today I'm going to follow the hunger scale. And then when that thought comes in, this might not be enough protein, then you say, but I'm at plus two, so I'm stopping. Or if the thought comes in, I don't know how many calories I've had, I need to calculate, you say, today I'm not counting calories. You just have to start moving into action or inaction when it comes to counting calories and macros. Once you set those aside and you answer those thoughts and you begin to tune into your body, you'll understand more about how much better it feels to not count the calories, to pay attention to what your body wants and needs rather than, you know, relying on calories or macros to tell you what you want and need. So just for today, tell yourself, today, I'm not counting calories. And then tomorrow when you get up, tell yourself, today, I'm not counting calories. This came up in the Marco Polo chat. I didn't plan a sugar-free skim milk iced coffee. For me, grab-assing this was as having a Diet Coke. I don't write Diet Cokes down. This led to questioning if all beverages should be planned as well. I considered the coffee a grab-ass in the end, but it opened up a whole conversation. Thoughts? You know, I'm not a Diet Coke fan. It's got a lot of crap in it my body doesn't need. If you think you need to be planning Diet Cokes, then you should plan Diet Cokes. Okay, that's how I look at that, Melissa. If Diet Cokes are on your protocol, then you know you can put them on your plan or not. Or it's kind of how you decide you want to make your plan. If your food protocol says I'm going to allow Diet Cokes whenever I want them, then it's like drinking, you know, water or coffee for me. I don't plan my coffee, but I drink coffee. So, you know, I think it's how you decide you want to look at it. How do I work on being able to throw food away? I'm trying to do the Wasting Food Worksheet and Fresh Start, but having a hard time actually throwing it away. You start figuring out what the alternative to throwing it away is. Okay? There's two things. It's either going back in the fridge or it's going in my stomach. You throw it away, you save it, or you eat it. What's the best option for you? That's where I'd go with that. Okay. For me, I either save it or I throw it away. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to carry it around in my pants anymore. All right. I just don't want to do that. That's not an option. So figure out that's how you look at wasting food. It's either wasted on your body, takes up space in your fridge, or it goes in the trash. Megan wants to know what a Marco Polo group is. Marco Polo is an app, a video messaging app on your phone where you call it up and you record a video, kind of like I'm recording one right now, and you send it to your group. If people are using it in Tribe as an accountability tool, you can, if someone is here, Missy maybe, if you can find the Marco Polo instructions on the website and reply to Megan, that would be fabulous. Otherwise, just post in the group that you want to join a Marco Polo group, and I'm sure somebody will pick you up. I've been adding things on my plan. I eat even when I am not hungry. How do I stop doing this? How do you stop eating when you're not hungry? You tell yourself, I'm not hungry. Today I'm not eating this because I'm not hungry yet. It all starts with a thought. It all starts with what you tell yourself. If you put it on the plan and you eat it anyway, at least you stuck to plan. All right. So we talked about that. We talked about commitment to the plan. But if you don't like the results, if you know you're not hungry, then start talking back. Okay. Seriously, say it out loud. I can't tell you the number of times I've stood in front of my pantry and said, what am I really hungry for? It's not those peanuts. It's not those chips. Am I tired? Am I bored? Am I restless? Am I lonely? What am I really hungry for in this moment? Throwing away food is not hard. Throwing away food feels uncomfortable, probably, but it's not hard. That's a thought. Okay. If you are doing the bulletproof coffee, should this count as your breakfast? For some people, Paula, it does. For me, it does not. I have my bulletproof coffee first thing in the morning. Then I wait until I'm hungry and I eat breakfast. It pushes my breakfast sometimes till 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock. If it goes that late, I just don't eat breakfast. But I follow my hunger scale. I can tell you bulletproof coffee in the morning usually eliminates the need for a snack or the desire for a snack because I've pushed my breakfast to later in the day. I struggle with leaving two bites. What if, for example, I would normally have two tacos, but instead I cut it down to one and was satisfied with just one, but did not leave two bites? Should you always leave bites? No, you don't have to. Leaving two bites is a practice that we get into in order to find our hunger scale. If you've already decided that you're at plus two after the first taco, then you don't need to leave two bites. But if when you still have two bites on your plate, if you're at plus two, then I definitely leave them. I figured out, I did this once with my friend Shauna. I left two bites for a week from every meal and realized that I didn't need those two bites. And if you think about, you know, what if a meal is 15 bites? You know, I saved two meals, two whole meals that week by not eating two bites every lunch and every dinner. Interesting, right? The wasting food worksheet is actually throwing food away. Yes, I know that. No saving it, no taking it home or giving it away. That's why it's so hard. But maybe I'll start putting it in the fridge. You're right. That's right. But if it prevents you from overeating, that's your first step, right? What does the bulletproof coffee supposed to do? It's actually just extending the amount of time that you before you eat again. The bulletproof part really is the fat that you add to the coffee. It's good, healthy fat that your body needs anyway. Is it common to have progress and then have struggles? Yes, very much so. And the reason is because I want to call it a struggle. Let's just say you find a place that you want to improve on. You work on that place. You become good at it. That opens the door for you to find the next place for improvement. Okay, so it's very common to go in the cycle of, I'll just call it continuous improvement, because you've identified something that you want to work on. You work on it. You become good at it. If you stay there, you become complacent. You don't find the next thing to improve upon. There's always something else to work on, right? There's always something else that's coming up that you can better yourself with. So that continuous improvement is a beautiful concept. Laura says, please define bulletproof coffee and why it's good. Laura, I'm going to come back in here and link you to a blog that Corinne has on her website all about the bulletproof coffee. But it's not for everyone. It's something some people enjoy and other people don't. But if nobody else links you to that blog, actually, I think you can go to fitandfat.com/coffee and find it. That's where I'd look first. But if nobody else links you, I will do it when we're finished with this live. All right, y'all, we are at an hour. That's the last question I see. So I'm going to call it. These were great questions, y'all. I hope it was helpful, and I will see you all very soon. Let's see. Betsy has office hours on Saturday from noon to 2. If you want to drop in, just raise your hand. And I can't remember if I'm on. I think Betsy's on again, actually, on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. in office hours. Either way, one of us is there, and we're in for a couple of hours, and ready to help you with whatever you need. All right. So if you're watching this on the replay and you continue to post comments, I will answer you. Otherwise, have a great day and I will see you all soon. Bye.